Cast. Presented by XFL2K.com. With your host, Tron Hawkins.
Welcome to This Is the XFL Podcast. I'm your host, Tron Hawkins. It is already week four. What a week it's going to be. We have the huge game, which is the game of the week, the Texas Throwdown between Dallas and Houston. We also have the LA Wildcats traveling over to New York City for a cross-country trip against the Guardians. We had the Seattle Dragons going to the Dome in St. Louis to battle them. And then the last game of the weekend, we had the DC Defenders coming off a just ass-whooping by the hands of LA in the first really big Sunday night game against the Tampa Bay Buffers. Let's talk about the game of the week first, shall we? It's the Texas Throwdown. Houston goes to Dallas for the first of two of the Texas Throwdowns. Right now, the bet line is Houston by two on DraftKings. Very small spread for a game that's going to be just epic. What an epic, epic game this is going to be. I cannot wait. Absolutely cannot wait for this huge game. This is the one that everybody had circled on their calendar. We knew it was going to be epic. What a name, the Texas Throwdown. Cannot wait for it. Let's talk about some of the team stats. Passing yards a game, Dallas actually outgains Houston 260 to 242. But that's really kind of unfair because Houston gets those chunk plays, of course. I mean, just one flick of the wrist and it's 84-yard touchdown to Cam Phillips for Phillip Walker. Rushing yards a game, again, Dallas 105 to 81. Yards game per play, 6.2 for Houston to 5.8 for Dallas. Points scored per game, 33 for Houston and only 19.3 for that Dallas team. On defense, you got 3.3 sacks a game for Houston, 1.7 interception game for Houston. No, they're the ones scoring defensive touchdowns. Points allowed, though. Dallas has a really good defense, only 15 points allowed per game to 22.7 for Houston. But Houston gets after quarterback a little bit more, 6.7 quarterback hits per game, only 2.3 for Dallas. In total conversions, Dallas is only 1 for 6, and Houston is 6 for 13. Two takeaways in game for Houston, 1.3 for Dallas. Houston never hardly turns the ball over, only 0.3 turnovers per game. But Dallas, on the other hand, turns over the ball 2.3 times per game. Both are 30% on third down percentage, and both in Houston got a four touchdown differential, and Dallas is even. Of course, Phillip Walker is having a great year, 748 yards passing, 10 touchdowns. Only one pick. Lindsey Jones only has 579 yards, 4 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Phillip Walker is way better at that, but Cameron Artis Payne's having a lot better year than James Butler. Both has 2 touchdowns, but both are perfect. 7 catches on 7 targets for Butler, 15 for 15 from Cameron Artis Payne, but Cameron Artis Payne has 55 more yards rushing. Cam Phillips has been the big story of the year so far, 324 receiving yards on 20 catches for 7 touchdowns. 7 of his 20 catches are touchdowns. Donald Parham and Lance Dunbar actually leads Dallas. Not all the receivers, but the running back and tight end and in receiving. He said, need to know, the Roughnecks can take a 2-game stranglehold in the West in the Texas Throwdown with a win, while Dallas can take a share of the division lead by protecting its home turf. In a game featuring dynamic duos, none signed better than P.J. Walker and Cam Phillips. Houston has given up 68 points, including 9 touchdowns to tie the league high, where the defense has made its share of big plays by forcing 6 turnovers. We talked about it in the build-up to the year that I think Houston was going to have a bend-not-break defense, and it's kind of showing that way. Slow starts continue to plague the Renegades despite a 2-game winning streak. Dallas, which is yet to lead at halftime this season, turns it on, by outscoring foes after intermission 40-12. Quarterback Lindsey Jones seems to find his rhythm after the break. Donald Parham ranks 3rd overall in the XFL with 217 receiving yards. The only tight end in the top 20. Kevin Harris Payne, 185 rushing yards, ranked 2nd in the XFL with 87% of those yards. 161 coming after halftime in the last 2 victories. So if you ask me who's going to win this game, it comes down to this. Houston's 2-point favorite, I think it should be a little bit bigger, and there's why. Dallas gets off to slow starts. If they get off to a slow start against Houston, it's game over. There's no coming back from that. If Houston gets up to a 21-0 lead, it's probably done. If it's early at halftime, I think that's what's going to happen. I think Houston's going to win the game. I think Houston's going to get off to a big lead in the first half. Dallas wants to play about it in the second half, but Houston will hold on to win. Give me Houston to beat Dallas in a huge game. This might be game of the year. Houston's been in two games of the year so far against St. Louis and Tampa Bay the last 2 weeks. But this will be a huge game. The atmosphere is going to be insane in Dallas. Give me Houston. I wish this game was on a big channel, not Fox Sports 1. But like I said, Houston's going to take a big control of this league. And then next week, I will be able to watch them live against Seattle. Cannot wait for that. Can't wait to see Philip Walker play live. Hope they beat Dallas and go in undefeated for that game. Don't take it wrong. Dallas got a good team, good defense, good running game. But they're slow starting. Houston is fast starting. They'll get off to a good start against Dallas and hold on to win. Give me Houston to beat Dallas. The next game we're going to talk about is the LA Wildcats at the New York Guardians. The Guardians coming off a just dismantling by St. Louis, while LA's coming off dismantling DC in a shocker. We're all still shocked about that. Both teams are 1-2, but it seems like LA's got way more momentum than the Guardians do. And we just found out that Matt McGloin will be out week one. It looks like Marquise Williams will start week four against LA. I don't know why they don't go with Luis Perez, since he's the one that kind of got the motor running for them last week. Let's talk about the teams, though. Let's talk about the betting lines. LA is a huge favorite, huge considering they're both 1-2, a 7.5-point favorite. This game is on ABC at 2 o'clock Saturday. Team stats, passing yards, it's not even close. LA almost has 100 yards more passing a game than New York. Rushing yards, New York actually gets them 75.7 yards, 69.3. Yards gained per play, again, LA 5.2 to 4.6. Points scored per game, this is sad. LA scores 24.7 points a game, New York's 10.7. Sacks, defense is actually LA's favorite in almost everything except defensive touchdowns. Points allowed per game, 23.7 though for LA, 19.7 for New York. 2.5 quarterback hits a game for LA, 1.7 for New York. 4-for-10 on conversions for LA, only 2-for-4. That means Houston's, New York's only scored 4 touchdowns for New York. Takeaways game, LA has 3. I mean, but that's kind of skewed a little bit. They did pick off Cordell Jones a total of like 6 times last week, or 4 times, and then another turnover for 5. Third down conversion, New York only has 13% on third down to 37% for LA. LA has a touchdown differential 1, New York has -2. Johnson's been pretty outstanding for LA since he got back. He has 463 passing yards and 5 touchdowns. They have looked so much better since week 1. You know, week 2 and 3 with Josh Johnson back. Matt McGloin, he's out. He's had 1 touchdown and 3 picks and only 310 yards passing. Hopefully we get to see Martez Carter play. He was fantastic for LA. He had 34 rushing yards and 3 touchdowns, or 3 total touchdowns last week. Deus Victor, he's the leading rusher for New York. He has 98 yards rushing with no touchdowns. Receivers, Dustin Spruce is out, so we got to look at Trey McBride, his first big game back with them. 5 catches, 109 yards, and 2 touchdowns. You got Mikel McKay, 7 catches, 105 yards for New York, and Kobe Pearson, 6 catches, 94 yards, and a touchdown for Pearson. Need to know for the Wildcats. Wildcats got off the snide with an impressive takedown of previously the unbeaten D.C. defenders, but they could use a road win to keep pace in the West. Josh Johnson, 463 passing yards and 5 touchdowns and 2 starts, was incredibly efficient against the defenders, averaging 11.1 yards per attempt and tossing 3 touchdowns. Trey McBride turned in best games this season, 109 receiving yards and 2 scores. Monitor the thigh injury that left him limited in practice. Boogie Roberts and Sean Oatman spend plenty of time in opposing backfields and should give New York fits. L.A. has a chance to at least be second place, maybe, in the division, because if Houston beats Dallas, they got the same record as Dallas. So you got them at 2-2. LA is a sneaky team. Now that they kind of find their groove, especially since they got their quarterback back, Josh Johnson. For the Guardians, getting back on track is missing 1 for the slumping Guardians. New York has struggled offensively, especially through the air. Just totaling 9 points during a 2-game skid. Marquise Williams and Luis Perez are both in line to see at least partial playing time week 4. The Guardians may rely on the ground game more with Dez Victor and Tim Cook combined to rush for 100 yards on 19 carries last week and average 5.3 yards per attempt. This game's easy. LA's got the healthier team. LA seem like they got a better coaching staff. LA don't seem like they're... I thought they was a dumpster fire, but I think New York is the dumpster fire now. I think LA wins just because their defense, I think, is going to show up to play. They're going to pick off whoever is starting for LA or whoever plays for LA. And I think Josh Johnson's going to just dismantle them. It's going to be an ugly game, though, I think, either way. But give me LA blowing out New York in this one. I have little faith in New York anymore. So the next game, we're going to have the Seattle Dragons at the St. Louis Battlehawks. This dome will be rocking. Seattle comes in at 1-2 at St. Louis, who is 2-1. St. Louis kind of staked the claim last few weeks that they might be the best team in the East since D.C. got blew out. The thing I like about St. Louis is they have an identity and they stick to it. They run the ball. They play good defense. That's it. That's what we talked about all offseason leading up to the league starting is that I like this team's defense more than anything else, and they showed up. It wasn't for a bad call against Houston. They could be undefeated and be the best team in the league right now, but they have next week they play D.C., and they have a chance to win this game against a decent but not great Seattle team and then go in and just whoop D.C. and say, we're the best team in the East next week. Great game next week. That's going to be game of the week next week. I'm going to tell you that right now, St. Louis against D.C. But they look past this game against Seattle. Seattle's one of those teams, and like I said, I get to see them play Houston next week live. Seattle's one of those teams that they're on the brink of doing something special, kind of like Tampa Bay is. They're on the brink of doing something. They just can't get all the pieces together. They're doing some good stuff. They just can't seem to get it together to get the W. They should have beat Dallas. You know, they beat a Tampa team. That's the only team they won. And they got blew out by D.C., but they really didn't because defensive touchdowns by D.C. won them the game. So, let's look at the betting line. St. Louis is an 11-point favorite in this game. I think the reason why is it's home field. It's a 5 o'clock game. It's in the dome. Projected total points is 38.5 over-under. And that's on DraftKings Sportsbook. That's what I look at. On Fox Sport, same thing on Fox Bet, except it's 11.5 for St. Louis. The Action Network consensus spread is 9.6 and 41.2 over-under. Part of me thinks that's too big because just the way St. Louis plays. But I've seen what St. Louis did to New York last week, and I see what Seattle is as a team. You know, they kept it. They was winning for a while against Dallas, and they ended up losing by, 11, 12 points. So it's one of those things where St. Louis, it seems like Seattle keeps it close until halftime. They kept looking. D.C. got destroyed. Kept getting beat by Tampa, came back and won, and then kept it close with Dallas and ends up getting beat in my game of the week last week. So going to the dome ain't going to do any favors, especially with Brandon Silver's the way he's plays. If he gets rattled by that noise in the dome, he's going to throw some picks, let's be honest. Passing yards a game, 188 for St. Louis, 165.3 for Seattle. Both these teams kind of concentrate on the ground game. It's going to be a very quick game, like time-wise, because I feel like this is going to run the ball. Both teams are going to run. Rushing yards a game, 157.7 for St. Louis, 100 yards, 100.7 yards for Seattle. Again, both teams love to run the ball. And that's what I like about this game. It's two of the best rushing teams in the league. Gains yard per play is pretty close, 4.9. to 4.5, but points total per game, points scored per game, 22.7 for St. Louis and 14 points per game for Seattle. Sacks, both teams gets a lot of sacks, 2.7 for St. Louis, 2 for Seattle. Seattle actually gets more interceptions, 1.7 than 0.7. Fumbles recovery, neither team's really done a lot there. Defensive touchdown, both of them has one. Seattle had that amazing one. Here's where it gets interesting. Points allowed per game, 21.3 for Seattle, 15.3 for St. Louis. Both the teams played close game, 22.7 to 15.3, and 14 points scored compared to 21 let up. Both of them get the quarterback at least two times, or get the quarterback at least two times per game. Now, on conversions, St. Louis is only 1-for-9 total on conversions, extra point conversions, while Seattle is just 2-for-7. Takeaways, Seattle actually gets more takeaways. You know, I think St. Louis has a better defense. 1.5 takeaways for Seattle, 0.7 for St. Louis. Turnovers per game, 2-1 for Seattle. Third down percentage, St. Louis is 52% on third down, while Seattle is just 35%. Touchdown differential, 4 for St. Louis, positive 4, negative 1 for Seattle. Again, it seems like Brandon Silvers sometimes hits his groove, and then after a while, he just kind of dips off, and that's it. The problem with this team is, I think, is the fact that it wasn't for that big play to Keenan Reynolds, that would have lost to Tampa. It's like they just can't keep nothing sustained. They get maybe one or two first downs on this punt. One or two first downs and punt. That's the crazy thing about when I go to the game next week. If they do that against Houston, they're going to get destroyed. Like, they're just going to get beat up. Houston's going to take advantage of that. And I think St. Louis is going to be the same thing. If you give St. Louis a short field, they're going to run the ball down your throat and score touchdowns. That's what they do. And they scored in New York, and they ran four straight running plays and scored a touchdown against New York. This St. Louis defense is not a defense you're going to get down to, because you're not going to come back against them. If St. Louis goes up 14-0 against Seattle, it might already be over, kind of like it was last week against New York. Let's talk about the stats. Brandon Silvers, 512 yards, 6 touchdowns, 4 picks for them, for Seattle. Jordan Tommy, 4 touchdowns, 2 picks for 612 yards. Rushing, 224 for Matt Jones with a touchdown with only one catch. 7 catches for Kenneth Farrow for 100 yards, or 23 attempts for 100 yards rushing. No touchdowns, however, rushing. I do think that he does have a receiving touchdown this year, though. Yes. Both of them do, actually. Both of them have a receiving touchdown. So the one reception for Matt Jones is a touchdown. Austin Proe leads Seattle with 12 catches, 168 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Keenan Reynolds has 9 catches, 129 yards, and a touchdown. Damari Pichonel has 16 catches, 139 yards. He's a slot, kind of give me the ball for a yard or two kind of guy. 16 catches, 139 yards, and a touchdown. And Alonzo Russell, 11 catches, 127 yards, and a touchdown. Need to know, Jaguars 7 touchdowns, were respectable 5th in the league, but turnovers continue to be an issue. Seattle has given the ball away at least once in every game, or a total of 5 of them this season, including 4 picks. One way to keep drives moving is getting the rock to Austin Proe, who is 5th in the XFL with 168 receiving yards. 3 of his 12 receptions have reached the end zone. That's third of his catches, touchdowns. Carries have been split among Kenneth Farrow, Trey Williams, and Jaquan Gardner. Time for one to step up. That is the thing with Seattle. Their running backs run good, but none of them get a chance to kind of build on that momentum once they start running good. Offensively, balance remains a key for the Battlehawks. Running back Matt Jones leads all rushers with 224 yards and 55 yards after contact in week 3, were league high. Jordan Tamu, who enjoys perhaps the best protection in the XFL, has accounted for 735 yards and 5 total touchdowns. Keep an eye on Jones' week 4 status, though. The knee injury kept him out of Wednesday practice. Christine Michael could be in for a bigger workload if Jones were limited or absent. The Dome crowds be rocking once again, especially for the idea that allowed a league-low 5 touchdowns. Andrew Ankra is tied for the XFL lead with 2 sacks, and safety Will Hill is 3rd overall with 17 tackles. This is really easy game to pick. Give me St. Louis all day. A team that turns over the ball a lot, going to a loud place to a team that only gives up 5 touchdowns. I don't see Seattle even being able to keep up with this game. I bet Seattle, I'm going to go make a prediction here, Seattle may not even score a touchdown this game. This seems like a field goal kind of game for Seattle. Just give me the home field advantage. Dome, sweet dome. St. Louis improves to 3-1 before their battle against D.C. Watch out maybe for a quarterback controversy. Brandon Silvers, he's got to have a lease at some point. I mean, he's already threw 4 picks in 3 games. At some point, you would think that they would try B.J. Daniels or somebody like that. Give me Brandon Silvers. I'm sorry. Give me Jordan Tommy over Brandon Silvers all day long. St. Louis wins this one pretty big. And finally, the D.C. Defenders at the Tampa Bay Vipers. Breaking news here. Quentin Flowers actually asked for his release from the team. He's tired of doing whatever the hell they're doing. It shows that Mark Trestman's losing control of this team, obviously, as we kind of figured he was there for a while. Taylor Cornelius is actually starting for them, and Aaron Murray's going to be the backup. So Aaron Murray, I guess, is officially benched. I don't know. We'll talk about this game. DC is actually only a 2.5 point favorite, I guess because it's in Tampa. It's on ESPN2 this Sunday at 7 o'clock. I don't know what's going on. 2.5 points. I guess they're just kind of looking at how Tampa's been kind of playing people close, plus the fact that DC just got blew out by LA 39-9. Passing yards of the game, DC's 264.3 to 209.3 for Tampa. Both teams run the ball really well. Both over 100 yards a game, 125 for DC, 140 for Tampa. Yards per play, though, DC's big ahead of that, 6.2 to 4.8. And points scored, only 18 for DC on offense, 13 for Tampa. Defense, however, both defenses are really good. This might be a sneaky good game this week. Don't be surprised if Tampa Bay comes out and shocks DC like LA did. Maybe DC's only a really good home team, and that's it. I mean, that's something to consider. Their first two games at home, go on the road for the first time, you know, it's cross country, and they get smacked in the face. 1.3 sacks per game for DC, 1 sack per game for Tampa. Interceptions a game, 1.3 for DC, just 0.3 for Tampa. Defensive touchdowns, 3 defensive touchdowns for DC, only 1 for Tampa. Points allowed per game, 24 for Tampa, 19.3 for DC. And quarterback hits a game. Tampa Bay actually hits quarterback more. 4.3 quarterback hits a game to 2.5 for DC. Extra points. DC's just 1 for 8. Tampa, even though they ain't scored a lot, are actually 2 for 3 on conversions. They actually got a 3-point conversion, I believe, last weekend. Ball control. 3 takeaways for DC. Only 0.3 for Tampa. Tampa tons of the ball, but they can't get turnovers back. That's kind of like their problem. Tampa Bay, 0.5 turnovers a game to 2.3 for Tampa. So Tampa can turn some people over where they cause turnovers. Third down percentage, 46% on third down for DC, 50% for Tampa. Both of them, DC, though, are -1 in touchdown differential right now. That's why St. Louis is in first place. The touchdown differential is the difference, and that's because they got smoked by LA last week, and -5 touchdown differential for Tampa. Cardale Jones is 602 yards passing, 4 touchdowns to 5 picks now. Kerry Cornelius, 310 yards passing for 1 touchdown and 3 picks. Both of them made mistakes. Pumphrey, 97 yards, no touchdowns for him. Davion Smith, good runner, 174 yards, still no touchdowns for him, but it as well. Good catch on the back go-go last week by Davion Smith. Rashad Ross, 7 catches, 164 yards and a touchdown, and 14 catches, 137 yards for Eli Rogers. It's the leading receivers for the defenders. Dan Williams, big surprise star so far for Tampa Bay. 11 catches, 108 yards and a touchdown. And then Jalen Tolliver, 13 for 157 and no touchdowns for him this year. Need to know, a dud in L.A. leaves the defenders thirsting for a bounce back with Cardale Jones at the top of the talent list. On top of that list, the XFL's highest graded quarterback through 2 weeks threw 4 picks in a blowout loss. Nick Brissett, normally third on depth chart, took advantage of his first extended playing time with 75 yards, highlighted by a 138-yard scoring run. Israel Presley is unable to go. Brissett could see more action alongside Donnell Pumphrey. It's close to do or die time for Tampa Bay Vipers. Tampa Bay does not have a reason for optimism Tampa Bay does have a reason for optimism after giving undefeated Houston a run for its money last week. Opening day starter Aaron Murray is back at practice after missing 2 games, but he's expected to back up Terry Cornelius if active, with Clint Flowers leaving the team. Truesdale hasn't practiced as of Thursday after missing week 3. The Vipers do employ a stout running game with 140 yards rushing per game behind running backs Davion Smith and Jaquez Patrick, the league's 3rd and 5th leading rushers, respectively. I am 10-2 on my picks this year. But to me, this is the hardest game to pick for this one reason. Cardale Jones, as I talked about, will turn over the ball. Like, that's what he does sometimes. He gets excited. He's a gunslinger. Gunslingers turn over the ball. Tampa Bay's got a pretty good defense and a good running game. Part of me wonders if DC is just a good home team. I missed this game last week. You know, I picked LA to beat DC. It wasn't close. I mean, this is a tough game to pick. I'm going to go with DC just because Tampa ain't got Tyler Flowers. Tyler Flowers has been kind of the adding gas into the fire for this team, kind of getting the fire lit under their ass. But without him, with him leaving, I think some stuff's going down with the coaching staff. I don't think the players believe in Chessman or the game plan. So give me DC to bounce back, but it's going to be a lot closer than you think. I think DC may look past him to St. Louis. DC's in trouble. Let's be honest. DC is in trouble. I think that 39-9 kind of shows us a weakness for them. Their defense kind of been doing the work the first 2 weeks. When you're down 30 points, your defense ain't going to do nothing. You got to be playing ahead to make the other team throw to get interceptions. Give me DC, though. Cardale Jones loved to bounce back against Taylor Cornelius. Aaron Murray may end up back in the game. I hope I called him Aaron Murray earlier. But Aaron Murray may end up back in the game if he is, you know, if Cornelius proves to be ineffective. Without Flowers, kind of adding that, I think Flowers should be the starter. I think that's why he's leaving, because he's like, I'm tired of this switching out shit. Without Flowers adding the spark to this offense, give me DC to win this game. To go with my picks again, I got LA beating New York. I got St. Louis beating Seattle. I got Houston beating Dallas on the road, and I got DC beating Tampa Bay. I only got one home team winning, and that's the Dome team, St. Louis Battlehawks. Thank you for listening this week. I'll be back Tuesday with a Week 4 recap. I will not do a Friday episode next week since I'll be in Houston. I am going to do a live pre-show, though, or Week 5 preview show from the tailgate on YouTube next Saturday at the game. So no podcast next Friday. But thank you for listening. I've enjoyed doing this for the last 14 months. Show got a while to go left in the season. Cannot wait for Week 4. Again, LA beating New York, St. Louis beating Seattle, Houston beating Dallas, and DC beating Tampa Bay. Enjoy this week. I'll be back Tuesday. Cannot wait to see what goes down this weekend, especially in Dallas, between Houston and Dallas. It's that time, folks. This is getting interesting with all the standings and everything. Go out. If you live in one of the cities, go out and watch a game. If you're at home, watch the games on TV. Let's support this league, because we won a year too, because this first year already has been spectacular, and we still got a long way to go. Thank you for listening to me this week, and I'll see you next time.